I see, by the way, I got to start by telling you that I'm a big fan of your pastor. This is where you say, but this has got to be a long sermon for you if you're not going to participate. You should know by now, don't invite me if you don't want to be participating in the service in the morning. I was very impressed before I talk about Pastor Nate about some of your youth. I always get to see, and a lot of the youth in the worship service are like this. But I saw some of you folks, and I'm not going to point you out because, you know how teens love to be pointed out. But I saw some really wonderful young people worshiping. And, you know, I believe that revival is coming, and it's coming through our youth. The youth are not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. So what we do for them now is going to determine where our church is going to be. And that brings me back to your pastor. Your pastor is a good man, and I said amen when they said, give gifts to your pastor, because the fact is, we have this tradition somewhere along the line, in Latin America, if you're called, you don't have to go to school, just do the job of a pastor, right? Here in the States, being a pastor, you got to go to school, and then, you know how to parse a verse. If you don't know what that means, you're not alone. And then you're a pastor, and even though you haven't served one day in the church, you're supposed to know how to do the job of a pastor. And I think that both things are extreme. I think that we need to have a call, and we also need to have a job. I think those two. But the pastor is not just an employee of the church. I want you to know, I rebel against that. He's not just an employee. He is the man of God that He has placed in you, in your place, so that He can give vision, to walk with you, to care for you. So please, love your pastor. Take care of your pastor. You didn't pay me to say this, but you will later. And by all means, be generous with him. Who says that that's not to happen? We're against the prosperity gospel, except in that part, okay? So it is my privilege to greet you with all 110 churches and all of our pastors in the Central Conference. I had a good time with your Sunday school, adult Sunday school, and we had an opportunity to talk about what is it that the Central Conference does. And as I get into the Word today, you see my first slide. Please receive, I know that a lot of you are not huggers, so we'll do it, symbolically. There's a hug from all 110 churches, and you're not alone. You are not an independent church. You belong to the body of Christ, first of all, but we also belong to the Central Conference. I see Pastor Romilia there, a giant of the faith in the Central Conference, and I see some wonderful leaders as well, and it is so good. I love going into a church and knowing people, because in the beginning I would go to a church and I would know no one, and what is Princeton, Illinois? I don't know what that is. And Muncie, Indiana, or Peru, Illinois? What is that? I thought that was in South America. But going to a church and being able to worship, it's what a wonderful experience to be able to do that. Worshiping in an African-American church or Latina church, it's just, we are a diverse body. So if you ever feel like, a huge need to dance, it's because, your DNA has Latino in it, We have 12 churches in the Central Conference that speak Spanish. And by the way, what a beautiful thing to do here. A lot of people felt very uncomfortable. I love that. the church is not to make you comfortable. The church is not to cater to your needs. The church is where it's a hospital. And it's a place where we come because we're broken. How many people confess that? We're broken and we need Jesus every day. How many can people say amen to that? And what happened last week is just a manifestation that the church is a family, and there's problems in the family sometimes, but how we respond to those things is very important. And how do we respond to that? By being supportive and caring, inquiring, and not being, just these standoff people. Well, I don't know, I don't want to be in trouble, I don't want to have anything to do with anything. You are part of the family, and this is your family. And that's why we care for people. And we don't judge because, my goodness, it could be us. And we want to make sure that we walk with people and that we're there for folks. So please do that. Go on to the next slide, please. The scripture that we just read talks about Bartimaeus, who I'm going to name Bart, because it's just easier for young people to know that. And I'm going to read the scripture again, even though it was read, because I think it's really important for us to be able to take a look at that. I, for many years, have read the scripture very superficially. You know, a lot of you read that, and you're like, oh, yeah, of course, that's what Jesus does. And the fact is that, you know, people don't get healed very often. As a matter of fact, if somebody got healed today, you would question that, because it just doesn't happen a lot, right? But it says, read with me, that then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with who? A large crowd. So there was a lot of people who were leaving the city. A blind man, Bart, was sitting by the roadside begging. What was he doing? Only three people said that. When he heard that he was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout. I'm going to put my hand here. Jesus of Nazareth, son of David. Have mercy on me. How did people react? Many rebuked them and told them to be quiet. Shh. Disturbing the peace. You should know there's an ordinance in Jericho about that. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said what? Jesus was part Sicilian. Bring him to me. So they called the blind man. Go on to the next one. Cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. Thank God for the people that encourage those to come to Jesus. And I truly believe that's faith coming in church. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now, he threw his cloak aside, and I find that really, really interesting. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked them. The blind man's rabbi, or Rabboni, I want to see, means teacher. Go, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Raise one of your hands with me to the heavens. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing unto you, O God. Let this be encouraging and challenging to faith covenant to live as your people. In the name of Jesus. God's people say?
Amen.
Okay. So if you think that I'm saying something that is true and you deeply believe that, I want you to be able to say amen, hallelujah, an occasional shut up, preacher, would be good, okay? Chameleon, I'm talking to you. The first time, did I ever tell you the story, really? I went to an African-American church. We have 17 African-American churches. And I went to the church and I go, and Jesus Christ is Lord. And the person in front said, shut up, preacher. So I shut up. And she goes, no. That means you're doing good. And I'm like, well, then you shut up. And everybody shut up. I didn't get the point. Go on, next one, please. I love Jesus. And I love the book of Mark because it's written especially for people like me that don't like a lot of details. As a pastor, people would call me, Pastor, we had the baby. And I'm like, is it healthy? Yes. Wonderful. When are we presenting it? Okay, very good. God bless you. People would ask me, so was it a boy or a girl? Huh? How much did he weigh? I don't know, right? But Mark, it's like that. He doesn't give you a lot of details. This is why it's an incredible discipleship book. And it tells you in the beginning. Let me tell you why I'm writing this book. This is exactly what it says. The beginning of the good news, the evangelium, the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen one. And just in case you don't know, he's the Son of God. Nothing that you're reading this book is going to make sense unless you know that Jesus Christ is God. And we need to continue to make these truths known, that Jesus Christ is 100% man.
Yeah.
And he's 100% God.
Yeah.
This is what we call the incarnation. This is the mystery of the incarnation, that God, his mighty self, became this little itty baby for you and I. We celebrate that every December. And we celebrate his death, which is weird, by the way. We celebrate his death. Now, we as evangelicals love to celebrate his resurrection. We love his passion, not so much. But we love his resurrection. Mark is telling us exactly what we need to think about if we're going to read this correctly. So if Jesus is the Son of God, then of course these things are going to happen. Go on to the next one. Jesus is on a mission. He's on a mission to go to Jerusalem, and he has told the disciples in the chapter before that he's going to die, that he's going to be betrayed, that he's going to Jerusalem to give his life for them. Now, he told them also that at the third day, he would rise again. Now, they heard everything except that he would rise again. Because the fact, church, is that people don't come back from the dead. Imagine being at our sister's funeral on Friday, and she's sitting down here on Sunday. That would be weird. And the fact is, it just doesn't happen. We don't even begin to imagine that because it's just something that doesn't happen. So Jesus is telling us to believe something that only can happen if he indeed is the Son of God. So we start with that. That's a non-negotiable of the Christian faith, that Jesus Christ is God. He's on a mission. And because he's on a mission, he's able to then say, okay, I am going to go to this place and you're going to be okay. The disciples did not answer well to that. Just like the church doesn't really know how to answer well to problems or to trials or tribulations, because when we come to the church, what we want to do is we want to be catered. We want to have a great time. The worship was great. Well, the worship wasn't for you. The worship was for God, right? The preaching, oh, Pastor Nate today. He tries, you know. He did go to school. He did got his master's of divinity. Really? No, he's a great preacher, right? I mean, thank God for that. But, you know, one of the hardest things for pastors is to come up with something new and fresh every single Sunday. That is hard. You try it. He's on a mission. If I was Jesus, I would not be talking to anybody on the road. You know why? I would be like one of those telenovelas, that, you know, the soap operas. I am going now to die for you. Leave me alone. I want to be alone, and you know, and I want to be in my own sorrow and in my own pain, and I would. It would be a total soap opera, you know, Danny and his little children. I don't know, just something like that. The fact is, we don't like pain, we don't like sorrow, we don't like tribulations, we don't like any of that. And sometimes we believe the lie that when you come to Christ, you will have no more sorrows and no more pain. And the fact is, that's not true. The Bible says that because you follow him in this world, he says, you will have tribulations, trials, problems. But it's okay. Why? Because I am with you till the end of the year. This is where you say amen if you believe that. So he's on a mission, and go on to the next one. Something really nice happened, though. James and John, the sons of Boanerges, or the sons of thunder, right? Last time I called the sons of the storm, which, you know, if you speak Spanish, it makes perfect sense. But these guys brought their mommy to talk to Jesus. Did you remember this passage? I love this. You can't make these things up. They go like, mommy, come and talk to Jesus for me. And Jesus, yeah, my mommy wants to talk to you. I found that the most entertaining thing ever, you know, because they were partly, obviously, Latino. And Jesus asks the same question he's asking the blind man. What would you like me to do for you? And she goes, oh, I have just a tiny little request. That he would sit on the right hand when you come to your kingdom, and then he would sit on the left hand. And Jesus, in his all wonderful, loving self, said, no.
Jesus would turn some?
Yeah! Because that was stupid. What is wrong with you asking for that thing? No! Sometimes the holiest answer you can get is no. If you're not in the church, heck no. Sometimes because we're Christians, people want to manipulate us. Because we're supposed to be acting a certain way, or reacting a certain way, or being benevolent in a way that is beyond our functioning. And a lot of pastors overfunction, and this is why Pastor Nate has a pastor, and I'm very happy to be that person that can make sure that he's not overfunctioning. People calling him so that he can get a ride to the airport at 3 in the morning? Are you out of your mind? Take him over! The minority church, I understand, you know, the pastor sometimes has to be the immigration officer, social worker, etc. But the fact is, we need to safeguard our pastors. Pastor Zach, by the way, man of God. Man of God. Spells his name really weird, but man of God. He's more than one sack. Too much of a personality. Go on to the next. Bartimaeus. What was he? Well, he was a blind man. He had heard about Jesus, but he did not know Jesus. A lot of people in this world think they know God, but they really don't. They have not had an encounter with the risen Christ. They think they know who Jesus is. He's a good man, a good prophet. But the fact is, if you don't understand that he's the Son of God, the scriptures won't make sense to you. Life won't make sense to you. If you think that Wheaton is already saved because we have Wheaton College and we have Faith Covenant, I got to tell you, there's a lot of people in Wheaton that are seeking God desperately. And the problem is they're doing it in the wrong place. You know, it always strikes me that people are looking for a relationship and a good relationship. And they have a perfect one in God, and that's not enough for people. He heard about Jesus but did not know him. So he started screaming, "Have mercy on me, Son of God." I wonder what was the last time that we asked God for his mercy on us. Instead of being a Pharisee and coming in very self-righteous and telling God what to do in our prayer, we basically say, "God, please have mercy on me. Have mercy on Faith Covenant. Have mercy on our leadership." We need God's mercy more than ever, because we know what our limitations are, because we know what our trauma is, we know what our pain is. And you know, people, when they lead out of their trauma and they lead out of their pain, they don't lead well. That's why we need to ask God to heal us, but we also need to work to make sure that we're dealing with our own issues, because the fact is, you know, if you think by getting married you're going to be happy, take a look at the married people and they tell you, heck no. Because if you're not happy by yourself, you're not going to be happy with anybody else either. Someone should be saying amen, especially if you've been married for 10 years. And they don't. Very, very, very. I don't know how to say about that. But yeah, the fact is that you need to deal with your own issues, right? Bartimaeus knew what his issue was, and he had started screaming, "God, please have mercy on me." Go on to the next one. So the people's reaction I find very interesting, not because, you know, some people are annoying and you want to shut them up. No, that's not why. But the fact is, people started rebuking him beyond saying, "Be quiet." They just started to tell him, "What is wrong with you? You're just a blind person. Don't you know how limited you are? Don't you know that no one's going to give you any money if you start doing things like this?" And who was this? These were the people that were going to Jerusalem to pray and worship. God's people were the people. May God have mercy on us if we ever become stumbling blocks for folks instead of people who help them to come to Jesus. May God have mercy on the church that loses its way, that thinks that we're a social club, rather than a place for people that are broken, people that are hurting. May we never present a perfect picture. There's no perfect people allowed in the church, just because there's no perfect people. Bart, and you will remember for a lifetime that I changed his name, I guarantee it. I've gone back to congregations and go, "Oh, Bart, yeah, you're the guy in the Bart, man. You're the Bart guy." Bart started screaming louder. But what something wonderful happened. Jesus heard him. I want you to know that whatever you're going through, God's people, you know, we emphasize victory a lot in the church. Victory, yeah. Who's in victory? Oh, my God. Yeah. We stand in victory. And the fact is, we stand in Jesus' victory because he's victorious, right? Us, not all the time. And the fact is, that you need to hear, whatever you may, even if you have a very joyful season in your life, I want you to know Jesus hears you. Did you hear me? Jesus hears you. Even when you're falling asleep and you say, "Lord, thank you for this." Or even when you don't quite understand how to pray and you sob. even when there are circumstances in your life that bring tears to your eyes. Even when you're celebrating and you're saying, thank you, God, for giving me this. Not all of us are going through a good season, but I got to tell you that Jesus hears our prayer. Now, I got to come back to the answer, right, of the mommy. Sometimes Jesus says no, but sometimes he says not now. Sometimes he says yes. The fact is that we need to pray the Lord's Prayer as we pray today. Let your kingdom come and your will to be done. Because the fact is, I don't know what to do in my life, but I pray like I do. And I pray to manipulate God. God, do this, do that. Let that girl fall in love with me. Let that guy marry me. The fact is, you may be asking for something horrible. What we need to pray is, God, would you please open the right doors for me? Would you please close those doors that are not meant for me? How many of you would like to pray that? I think it's good. Go on to the next one. So Jesus stops and calls for Bartimaeus, and he calls for Bartimaeus, but I find this weird too. Now, my doctorate is in homiletics, so that means I look at the verse, and I really want to understand why Jesus does what he does, you know? Jesus, Pastor, wouldn't it have been easier for Jesus to go to the blind man? And Jesus, if he had the Messiah complex, like you and I do sometimes, because we save and overfunction, to go, oh my God, the blind person, of course. Oh my God. Here, blind person. I'm Jesus. I'm going to heal you, okay? He doesn't do that. In fact, he asks him to go to Jesus. I don't know what lesson is there, but I hope that you ask more questions of the scriptures that you're reading, because it's important for us to engage in the Word of God. I know for a fact that Jesus did not overfunction for people. Even when we called someone that he loved, he says he loved the rich man that came to say, I have always followed the law, I've always followed the commandments, I've always loved you. And he goes, yeah. And he said, Jesus loved him. He says, I don't know if Luke says that, I think. But the young rich man did not follow him. And Jesus was okay with that. Our job is to simply point people to the Master. And to point to, that is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's him. That's Jesus. When John the Baptist did that, he lost disciples. We don't want to lose two people. But Jesus calls Bart, and Bart comes to him. But he did something extraordinary as he got up. The cloak that usually would be on his lap where he collected the money, he says he didn't just fold it up and put it on the side. He cast it aside. He threw it aside. His wages, his security, his warmth when he got old in the evening. And some of you are being called by God, but you're not listening because you have to give up something that you think is more important. Well, that needs to be a little bit bigger. Don't make me do church here this morning. He throws his cloak aside. I wonder what God is calling us to, where we need to revise our priorities, restructure ourselves, change. You know, the church loves change. One of the things I hear all the time is, that's the way it's always been done. And I want to punch someone when I hear that. I don't. But I do want to. Oh, do I want to? Yeah, go on to the next one, please. Jesus asked the same question he asked mommy. Had you put it together? I just did. It's not because I'm that smart. I just like to ask questions. He asked the same question he asked the mom. Why? Because the fact is, if you don't know what your own need is, you have a problem. If Jesus asks you, what would you like from him? And you go like, huh? You have a problem. Or, so listen to what he says to Bartimaeus, right? What would you like me to do for you? You would say, well, Jesus, duh, he's blind, right? And we love to point out other people's disabilities. You're not going to have me back soon, are you? We love to point out the imperfections in other people and their faults. It's so easy for us to just judge people without. Jesus says, before you do that, you got to look at the big piece of wood that you have in your eye, because the fact is, we have to repent first before we even think about judging other people. And by the way, I want you to know, God has not called you to be a judge. No one said amen. Is that weird? Nobody said amen. Can't say amen, say ay, or ouch. Ay is Spanish, by the way. You want to learn Spanish? Ay, like that. What would you like me to do for you? You know what Bart could have said? Hey, do you know a good eye doctor? No, so not only do you not know yourself, but you don't know what Jesus can do for you. That's another fault. If you don't know that Jesus Christ is God, then you can ask for dumb things. By the way, do you have $20? Can I borrow $20, Jesus? That way I can stay at the inn tonight and have something to eat. This person knew. And you know why we don't like introspection? Because then we have to make the list of the things that we're lacking, along with the things that are good about you. If you're only able to articulate the good things about you, you have a problem. If you're only able to articulate the things that are wrong with you, you have a problem. You need to be able to talk about your strengths and your weaknesses in order to move forward with God. Because you need to know what to ask from Him when He asks you, what would you like me to do for you? So, church, what would you like God to do for you today? As a church, are we asking God for the people that still need to come? And are we doing something about it? Because, bless you. Because we're very comfortable here. It's a beautiful place. I want to come here too. But the fact is, what would you like Jesus to do for you? Go on to the next one. I lost my place. Where's the church? The role of the church is, so why did Bart throw away the cloak? Well, I told you that. Do we stop people from calling out to Jesus that are calling out to Jesus? Do we encourage people to come to Jesus with our testimony, with our invitation? How many of us have the discipline of inviting people to come to church? And how many would pick these people up to make sure that they come to church? How do we walk people who are hearing Jesus? You know what I've learned? And this is my last point of the minute. When you help a blind person, there's an actual way to do that. You know that? You know what my tendency would have been? To grab them and pull. That doesn't work. You know what? What it does is you offer people your arm. You offer that blind person your arm so they can hold on to you. And then you can guide them to Jesus. But I want you to know, church, so you don't overfunction, that the person that's holding onto your arm can let go at any time. And sometimes they do. But that's not the reason why we shouldn't extend our arms to people that are blind seeking Jesus. Our job as the church is to be those that connect the world, those in need, to Jesus Christ. Because He indeed is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And until we believe that, we will continue to be a very comfortable, very nice church. But the fact that you're doing uncomfortable things like doing a lesson in Spanish, you have an African co-pastor, that is so amazing. That's so wonderful. And you love Pastor Sachs. Well, most of you. You are doing things that a lot of the churches are not. You know, I love all these little kids here in front. And when they come up, you saw how some people skip, and, you know, it's wonderful. It's all this nervous energy, right? You're like, oh, thank God they're not in the service right now, right? I love a crying baby in the middle of the preaching, and I tell whoever is holding the baby, don't take him out. And you see the discomfort of people going, oh, someone should take that baby out, because my discomfort is very important. My comfort is even more important. How do we walk with people who are hearing Jesus? I venture that we're not praying enough, bring my world to Christ. I hear that you're using that, the Bless initiative, praying for people before we invite them. I think that's just so important for the church to be the church. So with all the things that you're doing well, I want to say thank you. Go on to the next slide. During the retreat, we brought some CDs. And I don't know what else we brought. I know that we had bracelets last time. And this is an orphanage that I sponsor in Guatemala. And they took this picture, Pastor. This is for you. This is for the church, saying thank you. Because of your effort, we were able to buy a cow for the orphanage. And we were able to feed some kids for a while. I don't know how long. Usually $15 fed a child for a week. But we want to say thank you for doing that. Because this is not a covenant or a central conference a project. It's my project that I help. And the reason that I do that is because I was born in Guatemala, and I was brought to Chicago when I was very young. But this is a place where I can fully engage with kids that can never repay any of my work for them. I had decided that I was going to stop. I was walking up the hill, because they're in an island, so I was walking up the hill to say, it's been 30 years. God bless you. Go with God. And they were all there in their Sunday's best with this big thing saying, thank you, Pastor Danny, for 30 years. So I go, okay, another 30 years. I don't think I'm going to make it, but praise God, right? Can we pray? Father, as we see Bart's faith, who did not know you but had heard of you, I know there's many people that have heard of you. Father, I pray for each individual here today who has heard of you and each individual who knows you. Father, we are called to be the church now. And if the church is to rise up, we pray that not only will we treat our members who have bad circumstances happen to them, whether it's in the service or not, that we will rise up and be their family. Father, that be overwhelmingly covered in prayer, that we care for those that are not ever going to be able to repay us. Father, we pray for Pastor Nate and for all the things that you're doing through his leadership. And now, as we move into installing Pastor Liza, we pray for her as well, that you will use her powerfully, just like you've done with Pastor Sachs. Father, thank you for Bart's example. Thank you for Bart's not listening to people that were shutting him up. Thank you for allowing us to be your church and your people. In Jesus' name we pray. God's people say, amen.